even though the Baruch Hashem said he is going to forgive the Bnei Yisrael, but Kivel Las Chacham Afil Al Tanai Miskayem. So the Baruch Hashem took his name out of Parshas Tetzav. And we usually say that that's why Parshas Tetzav is always around Zayin Adar. So that's why he's missing Zayin Adar. He passed away. So that's Parshas Tetzav. It doesn't have the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. The opening Ibn Ezra on the parsha has a peladik comment. He says, "Tetzav is Bnei Yisrael, that the shemen zayis for the menorah is like a korban. It has to come from the machzus hashekel money, davke." The shemen hamishcha was paid for, was brought by the nesim, so that he implies doesn't have to be from mishal tzibur, but the shemen for the menorah is like karbonas tzibur, so that has to be mishal tzibur. So the sefer that they printed with the oris from Rab David Soloveitchik, he tainas that that's against the chumash. The chumash says beferish that Bnei Yisrael had to pay for the shemen hamishcha also. It says the Nesim gave it. The Nesim gave Shem and Emet. They were Moshe Letzibur. The Gemara says a Yochid who gives money for Karbon Tzibur, if he's Moshe Letzibur, Yofi Yofi, so it is good. But then Rav Dov Soloveitchik points out that in the Rambam, he never says that the Shem and Lamor has to come from Machzah Shekel money. He never says it has to be Yishal Tzibur. It's a question. Did it really have to be paid from the Maman Atziba like all the Korban Atziba? Has a din like Korban Atziba that is Decha Shabbos and Decha Tuma, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be paid for by the Machzah Shekel money. The Pasuk seems to imply pretty clearly it has to be Shemen Zayis, so it has to be olive oil. So that's where Rebbe Kivega has a Kasha, the Gemara, and the first Omid Aleph and Bamei Madlikin, Perek Bamei Madlikin. Masech Shabbos Mishnayis has 24 prokim, like a kala has in the days of Tanakh. A kala used to wear 24 tachshita. So Shabbos is a kala. So Rabbi Anasi edited the Mishnayis in such a way that it should be the 24 tachshitim, should be the 24 prokim. That's what the Melech Shlomo writes in the beginning of. Melech Shlomo is a commentary on the bottom of the page in the big Mishnayis. That's he quotes from Kabbalah Svarim like that. So the second parak is by Mamad Likin about Hadlokas Haneris. So on the first, the parak begins on Amud Beis. On the first Amud Aleph, the next Amud, the Gemara has a brisa that psilus hushmanim, the wicks and the oils that the Mishnah says you shouldn't use, emad likim the Shabbos, because it's not going to burn well, is emad likim hem b'migdosh for the menorah, because it says l'ha'alos ner tamid, ashtetei shalhevus olameileho. Rashi quotes from the Gemara there on Shabbos. You have to do the hadlokas hamner in such a way that it should burn well. And the reason why you're not allowed to use psilus hashmonim that are listed in the Mishnah Masechus Shabbos, koshem yate, koshem yechabe, because they're not going to burn well, and he may fix the wick on Shabbos and be in violation of mechabe or mavir. So Rabbi Kiveger asked in the Gilyan Hashas, what do you mean? The psilus hashmonim that are listed in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to use. Chumash says yad nin shem is ice. No other shaman is acceptable. What is there to discuss? So the pashtus is that it's a mistake. Rabbi Kivig thinks that the word shmanim is a mistake. We should say psilus. Shama chachamim eim adlik mehem shabbos. Eim adlik mehem b'amigdash. But you shouldn't say shmanim. All shmanim are no good. Only shemiz ayis is good. And they have some gemaras have that girsa. Some of the kisveyad. You look in the, what's the collection of all the girsois on the gemara? I forgot. The ksav yad minchin. So they have a lot of old kisvayad. Only have the word psilus. They don't have psilus ushmanim. Because no other shaman is good except for shaman's eyes. So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a businessman who put out these three volumes on the Sefer Mitzvah for Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a poem where in the poem he incorporates all the Taryag Mitzvahs. They used to be in the days of the Rishon, they used to write piyutim like that. Some of the Balei HaTorah wrote piyutim, and they used to recite them on a lot of shuls on Shavuos, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. They would, a lot of times in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, when they read Aseres HaDibros, so they would pause in between the first and the second Dibra, the second and the third, and they would rattle off in form of a piyut, in form of a poem, all the mitzvahs that are connected to each one of the Aseres HaDibros. Now, Soloveitchik said where he came from, They used to recite this piyut, the first half of the piyut on the first day of Shavuos, second half of the piyut on the second day of Shavuos, because it's a long, 613 mitzvah takes forever. So they read 300 mitzvahs on the first day, 300 mitzvahs on the second day. Other shuls, they said the whole piyut on the first day. So Rav Sadia Brenner wrote such a poem, and he lists off all the Taryag mitzvahs. So this businessman, Rabbi Yochanan Perler, a very learned person, he wrote a whole commentary. What's the klal? How did Rav Sadia Brenner decide what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Minyan HaMitzvahs and what not? And when he counted as one mitzvah, when it's two mitzvahs, so he has a whole Sefer. So in his Sefer, every so often he comes up with big, wild chidushim. So here, one of his chidushim is that Shem is Zayis, but the Medari, maybe it's only Lachatchila. Maybe B'riyah, but other Shmanim are also good, and that's what the Gemara says, Psilus is Shmanim, that the Tanoim said that you shouldn't use for Shabbos, you shouldn't use it for the menorah either. But Mikra Adin, other Shmanim would be kosher. Doesn't really necessarily have to be Shem Azayis. That's a big chiddush. Pashta says it has to be Shem Azayis. Then the Psukim start writing about the big day kuhuna. Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to make big dekuna for the Kohen Hedyot and for the Kohen Gadol. And Rashi says it's a little unclear what these big dekuna look like. So he says, V'li bi oimali, a line in Rashi, V'li bi oimali, his heart tells him that it probably looks like this. So in Yiddish, in Europe, he used to say, V'li bi oimali. How can Rashi say Libyamale? It says he's a violation of the Din Lois al Surah Elevavchem. Not allowed to listen to your heart. It's a joke. The Surah Elevavchem means not to worship Abba Lazar. But that's in Yiddish folklore. They say, how can they say Libyamale? Lois al Surah Elevavchem. So the answer is, if Rashi fulfilled the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kosve Maluach Libecha, you should engrave the Torah on your heart, then Libyamale is okay, because his heart is full of Torah. Libyamale is okay. That's what they say in the biography of the Chazon Ish. They write that on one occasion, probably more than one occasion, the Chazon Ish said a din, and people asked him, Bushtei, where does it say that? So he pointed to his heart. Libi Amali, his heart tells him that that's it. So that's, Rashi discusses here the Big De Kuhuna. The Pasuk says these Big De Kuhuna are the Kacho, the Chahan Oli. When the Kohanim wear the big dekuna, this gives them the Kedushas kuna. So the Gemara has a famous comment. When they're wearing the big dekuna, then they have a din of kohen. When they're not wearing big dekuna, they don't have a din of a kohen. What does that mean? So there was an incident that's quoted in the Orach Chaim at the end of Siman Kuf Chav Ches, and Siman about Nesias Kapayim. So the last line in that siman, the Ramor writes that the Yerushalmi says, "Amishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al." If you ask a kohen to do some service for you, so one is in violation of me'ila, just like if you mo'al behegdish, so it's an isin me'ila. So if you ask kohanim to do malacha for you, amishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al. So on one occasion, the Mordechai Gitin quotes, in the sugya in the middle of Hanizokin, that the kohen gets the first aliyah. So the Mordechai quotes an incident. They didn't have faucets years ago, so they had to have big barrels of water, and they had to dip in a cup and pour water on your hands if you want to wash until this is time for bread. So on one occasion, Rabbi Natan wanted to wash his hands, so one of his students was a kohen, so he dipped in the cup and he washed his hands. So Rabbi Peter was the Talmud of the Rabbi Natan, Tom and Peter. So Rabbi Peter asked Rabbi Natan, how do you allow the kohen to pour water on your hands? M'shtamish b'kuna mo'al. Not allowed to. Rabbi Natan answered, he's not wearing big dekuna, so there's no problem. So the Talmud asked, what do you mean? And he can marry a grusha, and he can go to the cemetery, because he's not wearing big dekuna. So Rabbi Natan gave another answer. He was Michael on his cover. He wants to do it for me. So what was Taka the first suggestion that he gave, in big day malem, en konas malem, is a mistake. The Talmud asked the Kasha, he's not allowed to be Matam Lemesim, he's not allowed to marry a Grusha, he's not wearing big dekuna. So the Orach HaShulchan has the following, Rav Soloveitchik said this, Orach HaShulchan has the following, this is the way Rav Soloveitchik says, the two tzvei dinim, the two levels of Kedushas Kunis. Kedushas Kunis Sheba Migdash and Kedushas Kunis Shebi Gvulim. So with respect to the Issa Grusha, with respect to the Issa Tumeh, that depends on Kedushas Kunis Shebi Gvulim. Gvulim means all over the world. So that you don't need Big Day Malayim Kunas Malayim. But with respect to being Makro Karbonis on the base of Migdash, so then you say, Lekatcha Lechahanoli. That's Pasuk chapter Chav Ches, Pasuk Gimel. Lekatcha Lechahanoli. By wearing the Big Day Kuna, that's when it does them with Kedushas Kunas Migdash. So the Rabbi Natam held him. It doesn't say in the Yerushalmi, also Lishtamish Bekoin. It says, Hamishtamish Bekuna Mo'al. Me'ila is always in Kachi Hamigdosh. So if the Kohen only has Kedushas Kunas Shebigvulin, he doesn't have Kedushas Kunas Shebamigdosh, so then that din doesn't apply. It's only Me'ila is only in Kachi Hamigdosh. The second answer was also an answer, that if the Kohen is Merchel on his covenant, the Gemara there in Gittin comments on the Mishnah and says, there's a Takana de Rabbanon. In the middle of Gittin, you have Takanas de Rabbanon, starting from Perek HaSholech, the beginning of Perek HaSholech, the fourth Perek. So you have Takanas de Rabbanon, Hilchas Gittin. And then it goes, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, you have Takanas de Rabbanon, all kinds of Takanas de Rabbanon, Pruzbol, and many other Takanas. And the Tosefta there even quotes more Takanas Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. So the Mishnah says that there's a Takanas de Rabbanon, that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. So the Gemara says, isn't that a din d'oraisa? Why is that a takana rabbanon? It says in the Chumash, Viki dashta, beginning of Parsha said more, Viki dashta l'chol dobe shebigdusha, l'ftach rishon l'verach rishon, l'vita mani yof rishon. The Kohen should get the first aliyah as a din d'oraisa. Why do they say it's only a takana? They tikkun ha'olam. Tikkun ha'olam means to solve a problem. What tikkun ha'olam? It's a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara answers, mid'oraisa, the Kohen gets the first aliyah, but it can mean machal on his covenant. With the Rabbanah, we don't recommend that you should be Mechon on his covenant, because 1 week they may be a bar mitzvah and they need all the aliyahs, they're not Kohanim, so he'll be Mechon. Next week they're going to be another bar mitzvah, he won't be Mechon on his covenant, so he's going to cause friction. How come last week he was Mechon for the other family, and this week he's not Mechon for this family? So that's why they made a takana that Kohen should never be Mechon on his covenant. Then the Gemara says it's only on Shabbos and Yom Tov when the shul is crowded. On the weekdays you have a much smaller crowd. So on the weekdays, the Kohen can't be Mechon on his covenant. Then the Bali Atosis said, the Bali Atosis lived in tiny little villages. They barely had a minyan. So the Bali Atosis had the same number of people showed up in shul on Shabbos on the weekdays. There were, sometimes there were communities. There was only one family in the whole city. There wasn't even a minyan. There was only one family. So the Atosis says that since Bizman Hazeh, in the days of the Bali Atosis, the shuls are just as crowded on the weekdays as it is on Shabbos, a tiny little community. So therefore the din applies even on the weekdays. The Kohen is not allowed to be Mechel on his covenant. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, but Baba Zeseinu HaRabim, today, Bizman Hazeh, we went back to the style in the days of the Gemara, that the shul is much more crowded on Shabbos Yom Tov than it is in the week. The weekdays are half empty, more than half empty. But there are many minyanim, and Shabbos and Yom Tov is a big crowd. So Bizman Hazeh, the Kohenim have a right to be Mechel on the covenant. So that's what the Rabbi Natam said. Yeah, there is a Dinim Shtamish. That was the second answer that he gave. There is a Dinim Shtamish B'Kuhuna Mo'al, but the fellow was Mechel on his covenant. But the first answer that he gave was also correct, that Bizman Sheim Begdeim Aleim and Kuhuna Osam Aleim. The Gemara has that Bizman Sheim Begdeim Aleim and Kuhuna Osam Aleim V'Havalei Kizar V'Zar Shovet B'Misa. The Gemara has, you have in Sanhedrin, Eilein Haniskolim, Eilein Hanisrofim, Eilein Hanerogim, Eilein Hanechnokim. Then you have Elohein Halokim in Makkos, the third parak, Eilein Halokim. Then you have Krisis begins. Of the Lama Bob Kris, Amuz Bartov, you have a full list of all the Chadikis. Then the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pegim or Pegdalek, what's a Tosefta? I think it's a Tosefta in Krisis. The Eilishabi Miso, which Averis are you Chai Misim Desha mindful? So it gives you. It gives you a whole list of which averus Yichai Misa V'Desha Mayim for. So it says, a kohen who does avoda mechusa begodim is not wearing the dalit begodim for a kohen head, and shmanim begodim for a kohen gadol. So if the kohen gadol isn't wearing all the shmanim begodim, even though he's doing an avoda that you don't need a kohen gadol for, just it's good enough to do a kohen head, but he's a kohen gadol. He's supposed to wear shmanim begodim all the time, even if he's doing avoda's kohen head. If the Kohen Hagid is only wearing three of the begodim, he's not wearing Shmoneh begodim. So Mechusa begodim is Misa B'Deshamayim, how do you know? Because it says, "Bizman shebidem aleim ein kanas aleim v'avale kizar." And the Zar Shavit has been Misa. So Tosfos there is bothered with Akasha. When he did a whole, you stand on your head against the Drosha. Here it says, V'hoyu al-Aharon v'al-Bonam b'voyim alol moed, the last Pasuk in chapter Chav Ches, the last Pasuk in Shlishi. So it says, the Kohanim should wear the big day kuhuna, v'voyim alol moed, v'ik shtam nizbech, v'shoyis b'kodesh, v'lo yisov v'v'meisu, if they're not going to wear all the big day kuhuna, they're going to be chayiv Misa. So what do you need a whole Drosha? B'zman she'em b'gdeim aleim, ein konasim aleim, Avalei Kizar, Vizar Shavad is Bemisa, Zara Karev Yumas. Zara Karev Yumas means if a non-Koyan does HaKrovus HaKarbonis, is Misa B'dei Shamayim. Zara Karev Yumas. We had a professor in college who didn't understand Pshat in the Pasuk. He thought, Azar means a non-Jew, HaKorev who walks into the Beis HaMikdash Yumas is put to death. Because there's a, when you go visit the Mokam, by the Kosla Maravi, so they have an old sign in Greek from the days of the Baisheni. I think even Greek, and I think it's in Greek. So it says, non-Jews are not allowed to go past this point. And if they go past this point, they'll be put to death by the authorities. So I remember one of the students asked the professor, why do they want to put them to death? So did the Rabban. Why is there a din? A nochri is metame like a zav. So a zav is not allowed to enter the Harabais. So they made a dim in the Rabban. Why they put them there? So the professor said, what do you mean? It's a pasuk. Azara Karev Yomas, a non-Jew who walks into the Beis HaMikdash Chayiv Misa, and said, it's a good pshat, but there's just three mistakes. Zar doesn't mean a goy, it means an ankoyim. Akarev means a makro karbonis, doesn't mean he walks into the Beis HaMikdash. And Yomas means Misa B'dei Shamayim. Doesn't mean Misa B'dei Olam. Otherwise, it's not good. Otherwise, the pshat is not good. So Tosfos asked this kasha, what do we more need? Is banchein begdeim aleim and konos maleim havele kizar bezar shavad b'misa. Pasuk says, "Liyisov and v'meisu." So Tosfos answers, "No, v'hoi v'alaron abonav doesn't go on all the big din. It goes on michnasayim." The previous pasuk it says, "V'aseilu hamichnasayim v'alachasas b'sa'erva." You must not let your chaim you v'hoyu hamichnasayim. It goes v'hoyu v'alaron abonav v'hoi alal moed. Liyisov and v'meisu. If they go in. Megula erva doesn't mean if he's not wearing all the big dekuna. If they walk into the Beis HaMikdash without mechnasayim, lachasos b'sar erva, then it's misa b'dei shemayim. And this drasha, b'zman she'im agdeim aleim ha'in k'nosim aleim, this drasha is needed to say if it's mechusa begodim, where is mechusa erva, not a shayla of erva. In order to make the big dekuna, they needed tcheles. In order to have tzitzis, you also need tcheles. Is it the same Tcheles? That's a question. So the Tiferes Yisrael, Amishnais and Chelek Moed, has a long essay about Big De Kuhuna. So he points out that when you look in the Rambam, in Hilchas Tzitzis, the Rambam quotes all the Gemaras that Tzitzis, the Tcheles has to be from the Chilozen. Whatever the Chilozen has to be from the Chilozen. And in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, when he talks about the Tcheles or the Big De Kuhuna, Tcheles or the Parochet, he never says like that. So he suggests that maybe there's a fundamental difference. Maybe by the big dekun and the parechas, all you need really is it should be the correct color, but it doesn't have to have the source. It doesn't necessarily have to be from the chilos. That's a question. That's a chiddush. But for the tzitzis, it sounds like it's not enough if it's the right color. The source has to be from the chilos. That was a big issue. The Nadi Bihude has a discussion in the Chuvis. And his son has a lot about this. There is a din in the Gemara that lehuchshul amalach shamayim alor behema Torah belvad. The Chumash says that they use oris techoshim, the hides of a tachash. What kind of an animal is a tachash? We won't know, because the Rashi writes on Chumash. Rashi quotes the Gemara, but Madlikin, tachash was only in that generation. It doesn't exist today. They died out already. So the Gemara says it must have been a kosher animal with malager or mafis parasa, because how can you use orish nechoshim for the mishkan luchshul and malach shamayim alor behemet Torah belvan? That's a question, a big machla, a big discussion. Whether that din luchshul and malach shamayim alor behemet Torah belvan, does it only apply to tashmishi kedusha like the orish nechoshim on top of the mishkan? What about tashmishi mitzvah? Let's say you have a shofar from a non-kosher animal. So the Rama quotes the Ran on the Rif in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that the shofar has to be from a kosher animal. The Ran writes his besupik, whether the din applies to shofar. The Rama didn't quote the Ran fully. He quotes that it's no good. The Ran was besupik. And this is Shaila. The Rabbi Natam says that the Chalitza shoe, Gemara has a machlekes, and we have machmer like that opinion in Tanaim. Machlekes HaTanaim, can you use a wooden shoe? Can you use another shoe that protects the foot for Chalitza? Same Shaila on Yom Kippur. They have Nilas HaSandal, Tisha B'Av and Shiva. So then of Nilas HaSandal, does sandal mean dafke or maybe sandal is anything that's megan? If you just have a socks, so socks are not megan. But if you have a shoe, that you have sneakers that protect you, so maybe that is a sandal. So we pasken that only leather. Why? Based on the pasuk in Yecheskel. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the baby, I mean, creation of Klal Yisrael is called delivering the baby, and he washed the baby off, and he put on shmir on oil, and he put on powder, and he put on a diaper, and then when the baby grew older, he put on little shoes on the baby in clothing. So it says, Ben Olech Tochash, I put on Alayim from Tachash skin. So the Gemara says, you see from the Pasuk that it's only called Nal if it's from leather. And Olech Tochash, Tachash means Oris Tchosh. Okay, so that's how we pass. So Machmer, some Rishon, I think the Balamor holds that we should pass like the other Tana, anything that's Megan, even if it's not made from leather. So some Machmer that on Yom Kippur, according to the Rambam, it would be according to many Rishonim. So maybe on Yom Kippur one should be machmer not to wear any shoe, even if it's not made from leather. On Tisha B'Av and Avelis Shiva, it's only the Rabbanan. So there's room to follow the Ikar Adin, that if it's not leather, it's mutter. But on Yom Kippur, that may be an Issa D'Raisa, and that's Hamishan and Paskin, that even any shoe that's Megan would be an Issa. So some recommend you should be machmer on Yom Kippur, even on other shoes that are not made from leather. So the Gemara has this din. The Gemara says, we have Aloch L'Moshe Messina, L'Huchshu L'Melech HaShamayim, L'Or Behemet Torah Belvan. Oh, so I started to say, the Rabbi Natam says, by Chalitza. Chalitza, we paskan, has to be leather. The Rabbi Natam says, horse leather is not acceptable. It has to be leather from a kosher animal. So some say, because the Rabbi Natam in Taisa says, because when Olach Tochash, and Tachash is a kosher animal. So that's problematic. And the Issur on Yom Kippur is only if it's from a kosher animal. If you're wearing horse leather shoe, so that's Mutah on Yom Kippur. The Gemara learns it at Yom Kippur from that Pasuk of Olach Tochash. So the Achrayim assume, the Aruch HaShulchan and others, they assume that Rabbeinu Tam said that Chalitza shouldn't be from Or Beim Tameya because L'Huchshu L'Melech HaShamayim L'Or Beim Tor Belvad, because it's a mitzvah. But the Chalitza shoe is not a Tashmisha Kedusha. It's a Tashmisha mitzvah. You use the shoe. So Rabbi Natam obviously thinks that that din Levuchshu Melech HaShamayim is not restricted only to Tashmisha Kedusha, like the Mishkan, or like the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. The Parsha of the Tefillin, except the Klap that the Parsha is written on, has to be from Arba'i Matorah. That's based on a Pasuk in the Parsha Tefillin. So the Gemara says, "Benamuta beficha." You have to write Teres Hashem on leather that comes from an animal that's muta beficha. Then the Gemara says, "The shalosh has a shin on the bias, so that shalosh is also Teres Hashem. That's a shin of Torah, but the shalyad doesn't have any oisias on it, and the ritzus don't have any oisias on it. So that's why there's a question: how do you know that the ritzus and the bias shalyad have to be hide from a kosher animal? So the Gemara says, because of the halacha l'moshe m'sinu l'huchshu l'melech l'shamayim alor b'hem atar b'lvad. The pasuk teres Hashem b'ficha b'namut b'ficha is what applies to the parshios, but you have the Torah written, or the bayish l'rosh, because you have the shin, and the others are based on the halacha l'moshe m'sinu. So that's the question, how far do you go with the halacha l'moshe m'sinu? So the Ran was mesupik by shofar, and the Rabbi Natam says by sandal shel chalitza is no good. And others disagree. Others say, no, it's only by Tashmishi Kedusha. It doesn't apply to Tashmishi Mitzvah. So the Nari Behuda picks up on this discussion. He He didn't know what the world of Chalazin is. So he has a whole discussion. And the son of the Rabbi Behuda wrote a lot about that. Whether should we assume that the Chalazin is a kosher fish? What's the issue? If it's a trefa fish, how can you use the dye from the Chalazin for a trelis or for big day kahuna or for the parochas? So the Rabbi Behuda raises the issue. There's a Gemara in the end of Baba Kama. The Gemara has an advice of Shita whether Chazusa Milsahi or Chazusa La Milsahi. When you have a jacket and they dyed it black, do you consider it the jacket is Bien and the dye is absorbed, so the dye is not Bien? Or you say, no, Chazusa Milsahi, the dye that's absorbed is considered as if you have two things, if you have the Beged and as if you have the dye. So that's a shaila in the Gemara. The Gemara has a funny nafkemina. If a monkey took my sweater, took my jacket that was made from wool but it has no dye, and he dipped it into your bucket of dye, and then it dried out. So you lost money. You're missing a lot of dye. And I gained. My jacket is worth more money now because of the fact that your dye got absorbed. So, but I'm only mechuyev to pay you if you can say mamoni gabach, if your mammon is in my rishus, if it's bien. So that's what the Gemara has this by. Should you say chazusa milsehi? It's considered as if the iser is if the dye is bien. Oh, no, it's balua, so it's not bien. So this is so the Rabbi Yehuda has that child. If you say chazusa milsehi, so maybe if the chalazin is a tray for fish, maybe it'll be a violation of the Huchshul and Malach Hashamai. If you hold that the din even applies to Tashmishi Mitzvah of the Huchshul, or let's say Tashmishi Kedusha, you're going to use it, the dye, the trailers for the Pareches or for the Big Dekuna. That's Tashmishi Kedusha. So that there should be a din of the Huchshul. So does it apply even to the dye or not? When the Radzina Rebbe in the late 1800s went to Italy he wanted to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, whatever we can do, we should do to demonstrate L'Shamayim, we should show the Rebbe Sham that we're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash. You can't go build a Beis HaMikdash, there's a mosque there, so if we'll go bomb the mosque, they'll start a whole world war. But we should try to prepare whatever we can. So the Radzina Rebbe, Gershon Hanach Liner, heard that there's a tremendous aquarium in Italy, so he went, and he's going to figure out which animal is the chilos. So he picked out the squid fish, which is not a kosher fish, and now they use a mollusk, which also has a shell. It doesn't have snapper because kes is also not a kosher animal. So we assume that it's not a kosher animal. But Rabbi Behuda lived at a tkufa that they were clearing, so he and his son wrote a lot about that. Would there be a violation of the Huchshul and Malach Shamayim if the Chalazin turns out to be a non-kosher source? Yeah, in Tzitzis, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim in Perek HaTcheles, whether Tcheles Makeves has Halovan or not. Most of the Rishonim Paskin like the Shita, Tcheles Eine Makeves has Halovan. Halovan Eine Makeves HaTcheles. If all the Tzitzis Halovan, all the Tzitzis HaTcheles, you Yotze the Mitzvah partially. You're not Yotze in the mitzvah Bishlei Musa, but you're Yotze in the mitzvah Lachatzoyim. And most of the Rishonim Paskin like that, not Me'akevus. The Balamor in Perek Bamamadlikin Paskins that Tcheles is Me'akevus as Salomon. And he holds, if you don't have Tcheles, why should you waste the time to put tzitzis? You're not Yotze anything. That's what the Melchamas writes over there. Shamana, we heard that the Balamor never wore tzitzis, because according to him, Tcheles Me'akevus. We don't have any trailer, so you're just wasting time by putting on the strings. But most of Rishonim hold that it's not Me'akev. So this Machlekes HaTanoim, in the Machlekes of Rishonim, is really only by tzitzis. By Big Dekuna, most of the recent Gedolim raised the issue, whether Big Dekuna Tcheles Me'akev. So I think for sure it is. I think there never was Machlekes by Big Dekuna. For sure the Tcheles is Me'akev. The din is that the trelis has to be by tzitzis, has to be from the chilosin. By big dekuna, that was the first thought, so I thought that maybe it doesn't have to be from chilosin. But the din is, it has to be a certain color blue. The same color as indigo, that's the oruch says, that klo'ilon. In the days of the Tanaim, there used to be fakers who were selling imitation trelis, charging a fortune of money. and it wasn't really kosher tchelas. So the Gemara says it was klo'ilon. So what is klo'ilon? That's exactly the same color as the tchelas. So the Oruch writes klo'ilon is indigo. So indigo we know comes from a vegetable, and it's blue. So that's how we know what color the tchelas is. So the Gemara says that tchelas has to be a specific color, and it has to be, the string has to be wool. The string has to be wool. So that's what the Gemara says. Stam beger hama batera. Stam beger hama batera is either tzemer or pishtim. So if you're going to have a beger shel pishtim, and you're going to have tchelas in it, so then it's going to be shatnas. So that's how you know that the eser dechol es eser. The Gemara derives from the parsha tzitzis that you put in tchelas, which has to be a string of tzemer and beger shel pishtim. And they make shatnas, so you see from here, to call it Tarkula, it is... That's a Dechal Oysese. So this is a problem today. There is a Gemara in Bukharis where the Gemara says... that tzemer for tchelis has to be from a tzemer echelim, has to be a rochel basrochel 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 all the way back to sheshes mebreshes. And if someone was breeding a rochel with a different animal, even though the wool is going to be the same as the regular wool, it's not kosher for tchelis. So the in recent years, around 100 years ago, less, 75 years ago, the people in the wool industry realized that if you're just going to rely on the wool, maybe... The wool that you get from sheep, if it's a rochel bas rochel all the way back to sheshes mebereshes, it doesn't give that much wool. And the wool is not so strong, and it'll easily rip. And if you breed it together with some other animals, then it's going to have five times as much wool, and it's going to be stronger wool. So in all the civilized countries, so to speak, in all the parts of the world where they have scientists and intelligent people, so they were breeding the sheep with the other animals, that the wool will come out better. So in the backward country, maybe Afghanistan or somewhere, Alaska, I don't know, maybe somewhere where they don't have scientists, so they still have rochel bas rochel al sheshes mebereshes. But in all the developed countries, all the wool is from animals that were breeded, that were bred with others, other than sheep. So the Gemara says that even if you have the chalazon, that's not called tchelis. So that's the shaila with the whole tchelis today. Are we so positive that the wool that we're using for the string, that's the tchelis, are we so sure that it's a rochel bas rochel all the way back to sheshes mebereshes? So this is an issue that some of the gedolim brought up. The parochas also has to have, last week said we had, the parochas has to have tchelas also, and it has shatnas. The parochas in the Beis HaMikdash had shatnas, and the din is that shatnas is only osur the levisha b'ha'aloh, if you wear shatnas, or if you use a blanket that's made from shatnas, that's beggar klan shatnas lo yal alecha, ha'aloh is osur. To have a curtain from shatnas is mutam in atara, but it's osur in the Rabbanan, because sometimes a person will be chilly, and he doesn't have the steam on, so he'll walk to the curtain and lean on the curtain. The curtain won't keep him warm. So that'll be a violation of ha'aloh. It's not levisha, but it'll be ha'aloh. So they prohibited making nipneima osro viloin. It's the last omid base in the first perik in Beitza. The perik ends on an omid aleph, but the last omid base in the perik quotes that din. The viloin is also with the rabbanim to make from shatnas. Neshashamish mischamim kenegda. Someone may warm up, someone will warm himself up by leaning on the on the curtain. So for many years, they used to make paroches and shul from shatnes, zechel amiglush. Because in the Beis Hamiglush, the paroches had to be from shatnes. There's a chashash made. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to make a curtain from shatnes. So they said, no one's going to lean on the curtain in the shul because it has a din of tashmishi kedusha. So you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. But the Gemara Megillah raises the question, tashmishi kedusha, let's say if you have a pair of tefillin, that's gufi kedusha. And if you have a tefillin zekel, a cloth tefillin zekel, so that's tashmishi kedusha. The tefillin zekel is tashmishi kedusha. But what if you have a plastic cover on top of the cloth tefillin zekel? So that's what the Gemara calls tashmish de tashmish, twice removed. So the Gemara raises an issue. Why do we assume that the pareches in the Beis HaKnesses has the status of tashmishi kedusha? The Aron Kodesh, the wooden Aron Kodesh, houses the Sefer Torah. And the pareches, the cloth pareches in the front of the Aron Kodesh, is meshamish the Aron Kodesh. So it's twice removed from the Sefer Torah. So the pareches should not really have the status of tashmishi kedusha. It's twice removed. So the Gemara answers, because the practice in the days of the Gemara used to be that every single time they did Kriyas HaTorah, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, they would take down the pareches from the Aron Kodesh and put it on the Shulchan, and put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the pareches. So the pareches had the status of Tashmish Kedusha, not because it's the pareches for the Aron Kodesh, but rather because the practice was they would put the Sefer Torah on top of the pareches. So the Achreinim Ad Yoridei Hilchos Sefer Torah point out that Bizman said that's no longer the practice. Nobody does that. We have a mappa on the Shulchan all the time. And if you don't have a mappa, we don't take down the parochah. Someone will put his talus on the Shulchan and put the Sefer Torah on the talus. The talus will not become Tashmishi Kedusha just because he put a Sefer Torah, because he didn't designate it Kavua. You only put the talus Aroi. He didn't want to put the Sefer Torah directly on the Shulchan, so he put a talus to be mapsik. So the talus doesn't become Tashmishi Kedusha because he weren't miyachadit dafke with Sefer. So since Bizman Hazeh, we no longer have that practice to take down the parochas, so the parochas remains tashmish to tashmish, twice removed from the Sefer Torah. So today the parochas does not have the status of tashmish kedusha. So that's why in Europe there was a very widespread meaning that they would use the parochas for a chuppah. When a couple would get married, so they would use the parochas. And that's why many of the old parochas in Europe have four circles, four metal circles in the four corners, because they would put the poles into the circles on top. And then you look in the Ezer Mikodesh on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, so he has a complaint that what is the chuppah all about? So the different opinions. So Ezer Mikodesh is of the opinion that it's hachnasa l'rishusai because you have an Erev, you have a Tzuras HaPesach, because you can't become a kana, become a kana gabeyem on four sides of the rectangular shape, the square shape of the chuppah. So since you have kana bikama kana bikama kana rabbeim, so it's like a cheder, it's like mechitza, so it's like the chasen kala entered into the room, the shem hachnasa l'rishuso, so that's why it's considered nisuin. So the din is that it's only called the tzuras ha-pesach if the kana is al gabeim. The tzuras ha-pesach ben atzad is no good. So that's why the Ezer Mikodesh has the complaint that if you have a metal circle in each of the four corners of the parochas, then you put a pole, so there's nothing going from on top of one pole to the other pole. You have a circle around, and then the edge of the cloth is a quarter of an inch away from the pole. It's not agabeim. So that's why they changed the practice in later years. Instead of just having the four circles and the four corners, so they make a diagonal slit in the parochas itself. Then they would put the four poles, when they would use the parochas for a chuppah, they would put the four poles in the slit, in the cloth of the parochas. So you would have cloth going from on top of one pole to on top of the other pole. That would be the kana al gabeim. So this was a common practice in Europe for many generations, that they would use the parochas in the shul for a chuppah, either with the rings, or those who are makba will make a slit. So we assume that it's tashmish to tashmish. The tashmish, So a person is permitted to warm himself up. So then you should go back to the din of the Gemara, the end of the first parak of Beitza, that it's not proper to make a paruches and shul from shatnas, even though you'd like to make a zechal migdash, but strictly speaking, somebody may decide to warm himself to come close if he's chilly. So others say, what do you mean? But lemaisa, nobody does it. Which Meshuggah is going to walk up to the paruches and wrap himself in the paruches. A curtain, we rarely do it either, but the curtain people may do it. So it's awesome with the Rabbanan, mipnei ma'osu vilain shal shatnes, because a person may warm himself. So that's the issue. In America, they said that if you order a paruches and you don't tell them otherwise, 95% of the time they will send you a paruches that has shatnes in it. So the Achraim say that that's not right. That is Mana said that paruches is twice removed, is tashmish to tashmish, and it's mutabano, it's not a tashmish yigdusha. So it's not really right to make it from shatnes. So when a shul wants to order paruches, they should specify they want a paruches that is not shatnes. So the parasha goes through all of the various big dekuna, and one of the big dekuna for the kohen gadol is the tzitz. So the tzitz, it says Nachum, tzitz has to have kodesh l'Hashem written on it. So the Gemara in Sukkah, the beginning of Sukkah, quotes a machlok satana where the kodesh l'Hashem was on one line, a kodesh l'Hashem was in two lines. What does it mean, two lines? So the different opinions, what it looks like in two lines. The pashtus says kodesh lamed, and then continuing above was yud kei vav kei. A funny way of writing Kurdish Lamed and Yud Kei Vav Kei above on the upper line. So that's a machleg satanam. So one Tana says, what are you telling me? I was in Rome, Ani Ha'isi Baromi, and they showed me the treasury of the Vatican, and they have the tzitz in the treasury. The Kurdish Lashem is on one line. So you see from that Gemara that if you have archaeological evidence, you can pass kashalas based on the archaeological evidence. He says that it's in one line. The Rambam paskens that it should be two lines. So the Kesef Mishneh is, how can he pasken against the evidence? We have archaeological, historical evidence that it was in one line. So the Kesef Mishneh says, every Kohen Gadol has a different shape, forehead, different size forehead. They probably had a lot of Kohanim Gedolim in the Bayis Sheni. They had a few hundred Kohanim Gedolim. So it could be that there were many tzitzim. So the tzitz that he saw in Rome and Vatican happened to be in one line, but maybe the others were not in one line. There's still room. The archaeological evidence is not 100% conclusive. Doesn't necessarily mean that every generation they made the tzitz the same. Maybe Bizman Abayis, there was not only was there machlegs after the Churban Abayis, maybe there was machlegs Bizman Abayis. Some did like this and some did like that. It says, V'hayal Meitzach Aharon. He has to put the tzitz on his forehead, al meitzach. Al meitzach is over here. Pashim Shat is over here. But the Targum translates, Beinei Nohi. Pshatim Lelosal Yadecha Vahirat Tetav is Beinei Necha. So what is Beinei Necha over there? Doesn't mean over here. Beinei Necha is only B'makom Seyor. So that's what Tosis in the beginning of Sukkah is not sure. They have two opinions. Maybe the tzitz is not supposed to be al meitzach on the forehead, but rather Beinei Nohi, like the Targum Onkel says, Beinei Nohi means over here, B'makom Seyor. So if you should, Tosfos says, if you hold like that the tzitz has to be B'makom Seyor, and then the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol wear tefillin shel Rosh also. So, but there's a din of chatzitza. You can't have that tefillin will be a chatzitza in between the tzitz and the body, or in between the mitznefes and the body. So Saru Hayanira bein tzitz l'mitznefes shisham hayimaniach tefillin. That's the Loshan Gemara. The Kohen Gadol had a little hair sticking out. So where was the hair? So according to their first opinion that al mitzchay vay al mitzchay tamin is over here on his forehead. So then over here there was a little shalrosh, the beginning of the hair spot, and then the mitznefes goes after that. But if you hold like the Targum Onkel, it's Beinei Nohi, means the tzitz was over here. Then the tefillin was 2 inches behind that, and then the mitznefes was further back. So it comes out that the Kohen Gadol's mitznefes was smaller than that of the Kohen Hedyot. Because the Kohen Hedyot doesn't have to have a tzitz, it just has the tefillin, and the Mikbas. Maybe that's why one is called Mikbas, one is called Mitznefes, that one was bigger than the other. The Yarmulke of the Kohen Gadol was smaller than the Yarmulke of the Kohen Hedi. So that's what Tosfos has two opinions about that. And the Chumash says that the role of the tzitz was by mitzchah tamid lerotzen lahem lifnei Hashem. By wearing the tzitz, v'ayam mitzchah tamid lerotzen lahem lifnei Hashem, it's meratza ala karbon. It's if a karbon was karev b'psul, and Kohen Gadol has the tzitz, so then the tzitz is machsher the karbon. So that's a big... So the Gemara finally, by process of elimination, the Gemara says, what can it be? What psul did he do? He was makriv balayla, he was makriv b'smol, he was makriv, well, what kind of a psul? It must be a makriv bitume. The Gemara says, by process of elimination, the Gemara says, it can't be this, can't be that, it's meratza ala tume. So if a karma was karma bitume, it's psul, but if the Kohen Gadol has the tzitz, then it's going to be kosher. So that's a makhleg zhatanoim. What do you mean the Kohen Gadol has the tzitz? Only when he's wearing it, when he's wearing the tzitz, it's not odal mitzcha meratza, ein odal mitzcha, ein meratza. If he's not wearing the tzitz, it's not meratza. But he's saying, no, if the tzitz is broken and it's puzzle, then it's not meratza. But if the tzitz is hanging on a peg, on a nail in the wall, in the Beis HaMikdash, as long as the tzitz is in existence, maybe it's meratza. So that's a machloike satanai. Whether the tzitz is only meratza if he's wearing it or not. Then there's a further shaila. If all the tzitz is only meratza when he wears it, that's how the Rambam assumes. The tzitz only meratza when he wears it. Does it mean he only has to wear the tzitz? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how the Rabbeinu Tam says in Kiddushin by the story of Yana HaMelech and Lav Samachlov. And the Beis HaLevi assumes otherwise. He thinks, no, it'll be Mechusa B'Gorim. Tzitz is only meratza if the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, but zero if the other seven, he has to have all the shmoneh begadim of the Kohen Gadol. He can't just wear it tzitz alone. So if you hold that tzitz is meratza, afila eino al mitzcha, even if he's not wearing it. If you hold that tzitz is meratza, even if he's not wearing it, then it says, Tamid l'ratzen l'hem l'fnei Hashem. Tamid, it's always meratze. But if you hold the tzitz is only meratze, when he wears it, when he's wearing the tzitz. So the Gemara has this machlekes hatanai, whether the tzitz is only meratze when he wears it, or even when he's not wearing it. So the Gemara links it up with another machlekes in Yumad Avov. So the Gemara starts off with a machlekes amaroyim. When you makriv a korban shizmano kavua, most of the korbanos tzibur azmanim kavua. Parhelam babushal tzibur is a korban tzibur that's not zmano kavua. But most of the minimum misafim, most of them is zmano kavua. And the din really doesn't depend on korban yochid korban tzibur. It depends on zmano kavua versus ein zmano kavua. That's a mishnah tzibur. We say that Tumah is Mutta B'Tzibur, it's a little bit inaccurate. It doesn't depend on Yochid versus Tzibur, it depends on Zman HaKavua versus Ein Zman HaKavua. So the Gemara has a Machlokes HaMaroyim, then it turns out to be a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur or Tumah is Duchuya B'Tzibur. What's the difference whether Hutra or Duchuya? So if it's hutra's hetagoma, you don't have to try to avoid it. Hetagoma. If it's the chuya, so it's only if it's the efshe l'kaim shnei. A mitzvah, tzarech kiyum a mitzvah, zdecha and iser, only if you can't fulfill a mitzvah otherwise. But if it's efshe l'kaim shnei, then it's not decha. But if it's hutra, it's hutra. It means that the makam korban shezman kavod, the whole prohibition of tumah doesn't apply. So that's one nafkamina. If you hold the chuya hutra, you have to try to be mahader to have tahorim do the korban or not. Then the other nafkamina the Gemara has is if you have a korban shezmano kavua, so it's mutter to bring it betumah and the korban, the two issues. You're not allowed to be makam karbanis in the state of tumah. Whether you're tummy, the karban is tummy, is an iser, and then there's a psul, the karban will be pasul. So when you say Tuma is duchuya b'tzibur, the iser to do the avodah b'tuma is nitcha because of the tzorach hakrabas hakorban. That's duchah the iser, but what's machsha the psul? So the Gemara says it's totally zebizeh. If you hold duchuya, then the tzorach kiyam mitzvah is duchah the iser, but the kohen gadol has to be wearing the tzitz. Kohen gadol is not wearing the tzitz, the korban will not be kosher. But if you hold tuma hutra b'tzibur, hutra het the gomer, so there's no issue at all. So not only is there no iser, there's no psul either. You don't need the kohen gadol wearing the tzitz. So the Gemara makes it. The Gemara makes this totally zebizeh. How does the Rambam pasken? The Rambam pasken says big letters dechuya. The perek begins with the word dechuya. So the Rambam writes that the tuma is dechuya b'tzibur nagutra. So then it'll only be good. You can only be makrit korbanos tzibur in the state of tuma, if the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz. And then the Gemara in Yuma there is talking about Rabbi, this kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. This usually we want the kohen gadol to wear the tzitz all day long, as much as possible, in case there'll be a psul and a korban, so it'll be kosher b'di'evet, because the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz. The tzitz is meratza, the ratza lahem. Ratza means to be machshir the korban. So the Gemara says, but on Yom Kippur, there's a period of time where the kohen gadol goes in, lifnai v'lifnim, and only wears dalet begodim. He wears big day sheish, big day pishton, and he doesn't wear the tzitz. He doesn't wear the tzitz. So then it'll come out that when that covered, a case of psul tumah will occur. When the kohen gadol is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, then he's not wearing the tzitz. So the Gemara says it depends. If you hold it like the Tana, the tzitz is meratzah, even when the kohen gadol is not wearing it, as long as it's not broken, even if it's hanging on the peg, it's meratzah, so then there's no problem. Even when the kohen gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not allowed to wear the tzitz. There won't be any problem. But if you hold the tzitz is only meratzah, if he's wearing it, he's not wearing it, not. So then the Torah tells that the kohen gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we're not covered with the hechsher. So it must be that that Tana who holds it, it's only Meratzah, when he's wearing it, that Tana must hold the Tumahutra Mitziva. So you don't need the Tzira for the Tzitz. That's what it says in the Gemara. The problem is the Rambam. The Rambam paskins Duchuya. So if you hold Duchuya, you need the Tzira for the Tzitz to be Machsha the Korban. And then the Rambam writes, it's only Meratzah if he's wearing it. So it comes out that there's a period of time on Yom Kippur every single year that you're not covered with a ritza of the tzitz when the kohen gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Gemara assumes that we pasha that that's impossible. So that's what they talk about. How did the Rambam come up with such a psak? According to the Gemara, the two atoli zebizet. That is an issue. Then there's another interesting issue. Machlek is Rashi and the Shagas Aryeh. When you say the Rambam paskens like the Tan that the tzitz is only meratzah if while he's wearing it. If he's not wearing it, it's hanging on the peg, so the tzitz is not meratzah. So the question is, the kohen gadol has to be wearing the tzitz when? When what happened? So I would have said, when somebody was makar of a korban in the state of tumah, either the kohen was tameh or the korban was tameh, either one or the other. If the hakrovas hakorban took place while the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz, then it's machshir the korban. That's what the Shagas Aryeh said, but Rashi doesn't say it like that. Rashi says, if the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz when the tumah occurred, when the korban became nitma, why does it depend when the korban became nitma? It should depend when the korban was offered, when the korban was korban. So that's a machlekes, Rashi and the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh has a gvuras ari, that's to say, for Anyuma. He disagrees all the time with Rashi and Tesis. So that's a very peladik machlekes. Then the parsha of Tetzaveh says, "Zeh hadova shetasalem lekadosh esam." Lechayinli, they were creating kedushas kohunim. It didn't exist before. So we spoke when we were learning a little bit about mikvahs and the Gemara and Chulin. So we spoke about the fact that the tefillin and mikvah is used for three different purposes. If something is tameh, yitovel. Odom akelim atameh yitovel, and the mikvah becomes tameh. then if a woman is a nido, she's asur lebaila tovel in the mikveh, she becomes materis lebaila. That's not totally zebze. It's not because the isa lebaila is a function of the tumah, and once you remove the tumah, so meila she's materis lebaila. Rabbi Chana Masman has a whole essay in the Sefer Kibbutz Aris on Yavamas where he shows you have cases according to various rishonim that she's a nida min atorah for tumah v'ta, she's materis lebaila, and sometimes she's asur lebaila and she's not a nida. She does have a tumah. They're not totally zebze. So it's a separate din. Moshe lemal davadayim, there isn't such a din, but if there would have been, if you have a tray for salami from the ve'elamit, you dip it in a mikveh, it becomes kosher. So the woman is a nida asur labayla. She tovel in a mikveh, it makes him a teres labayla. Not because it removes the tumah. It removes the tumah, that's one din. The second din, it's mater the nida labayla. Then there's a third din, if you want to be mala kedusha. If you have a non-Jew who wants to become Jewish. And Maimon HaSinai, that was the gerus of all of Klal Yisrael. So everybody had to go to mikveh. So that's one din. Then if a Kohen, the Kohenim are chosen here. So the Kohenim are endowed with Kedushas Kunis, so all the Kohenim had to go to the mikveh. Then there's another din, Kedushas Kunis HaMikdash, Bizman Shebigdeim Aleim Kunosim Aleim. So whenever a Kohen wants to come to the Beis HaMikdash to put on Bigdei Kunis in order to be able to be Makor Karbonis, he has to be Tovel in a mikveh. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does avoid in five units, Big Day Lava, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lava, Big Day Zav, Big Day Lava, Big Day Zav. He has to go to mikveh whenever he's about to put on Big Day Kuna. Five times in a day, he has to go to mikveh. It's not enough that he went to mikveh in the morning. He took off the Big Day Kuna. Then he's going to put on again Big Day Kuna, so he has to go to mikveh again. Because Bizman Shebig Day Malem Kunasam Aleim. So you have a ger who wants to convert. Bizman is a ger wants to convert, has to go to the mikveh. The Kohanim originally, when they were Nifcharu, they got a Kedushas Kuna. And then when the Kohen is about to be put on Big Day Kuna, he's going to be endowed with a deeper degree of Kedushas Kuna. And then we spoke about Tfilos Kelim, HaNikchem Mir Anochi. The Rabbi Yoina HaAshkenazi, who wrote the Sefer Yitzhak Heta HaOruch, writes at Tfilos Kelim on Pleisuda, HaNikchem Mir Anochi, if you buy it from the Nochi, you have to be Toivolet. It's a form of Geirus, you have to be Megayer the Kelim. You have to be Megarlikim. So these are the various kinds of tefillah that we have. The Gemara in the first parak in Yuma is not sure. The Gemara has a shayla exactly step by step. Which big dekuna did they have to put on first when they were in this kachu? When you have a kohen and wants to do avod, he can put on whatever big dekuna he wants to put on first. There's a din of chatzitza. There's a some gadol will be a chatzitza for others. But aside from the issue of chatzitza, there's no insistence which beggar he has to wear first. But Ketzad Hilbishon, the Gemara has a shayla. How was he mekadosh them? But putting on the begotten, he was mekadosh them, so the Gemara is not sure. So the Gemara says, Ketzad Hilbishon, my dahave have, it was once in the history of the world. It's bitl turd to discuss a halacha that's only hayru ashor. It's only a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to discuss dinim that anoyed l'daris. To discuss a Rosh Hashanah is irrelevant. It's Dvar Mitalim. So the Gemara says, now Ketzem Albishon lo se lovi. After a kohen dies, he loses Kedushas Kuna. After Tchias HaMesim, they'll be back again in business. They'll want to be Makru Karbonis. But we'll have to be Mekadosh. Those who were chosen as Kohanim have to be Mekadosh them anew. So the Gemara has a shayla, Ketzem Albishon lo se lovi. How, in what order will they have to put on the big dekuna in the future after Tchias HaMesim, that they should be endowed again with Kedushas Kuna? So the Gemara says, Ketzmal Bishon Lasa Lava, but let's Moshe Rabbeinu will be there. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Tchias HaMesim, Moshe Rabbeinu will be on our last him. Moshe says, yeah, but meanwhile, till Moshe Rabbeinu comes, how do you read the Psukim and Parshas Tetzaveh? In what order are they supposed to put on the big dekuna? This is an interesting question. I mean, Mesim Chavshim, after they die, they lose the Kedushas Kuna. So you have to be Mekadosh them all over again after Tchias HaMesim. So every Jew who dies also loses the Kedushas Yisrael. So when he comes back to life after Tchias HaMesim, he has to go to Mikveh again, he has to become Jewish again. He needs the Geirus all over again. Never discussed in the Gemara. A little bit it is discussed. Mitzvahs betelos lasei lavay. Mesim chavshim. The Gemara sounds like the mesim, even after tchias hamesim, are not mechuyev to observe mitzvahs. You can bury a mes with shatnas, Because Mesim Chavshim, once he dies, even after he comes back to life, he's not obligated to observe the mitzvahs. That's what it sounds from the Gemara. Yeah. Then the Pesukim say, when the Kohanim, when Nibchar, just like a ger who converts, has to bring a korban. So when the Kohanim were chosen and were endowed with Kedushas Kuna, so they also had to bring a whole set of karbanas. So it was a karban ha'aron abanam, it was a karban ha'shutvim. Usually in a karban ha'shutvim, so the din is, each shutvim has to do smicha by himself. They can't all do smicha b'vasachas, because your hands will be a chatzitza between my hands and the head of the animal. So each one of the shutvim on the karban, if it's a karban ha'shutvim, each one has to do smicha b'fnei atzma. And tenufa, you can't do more than one tenufa, you only do one. So the din is that echad meinafai dekulam, one of the shutvim does the tenufa. Here in the parsha it says, so the Tosefta points out, here in the parsha it says, Aaron and Bonav, all five, Aaron and his four sons, they all did the tenufa together. Apparently there was no issue of chatzitza. And it says they all did the smicha. Okay, smicha, that's not the problem. So the Raivid writes in his Pirush on Toras Kohanim, the Rabbi Antoskan, they think, is authentic. That's the real Rabbi. The Rabbi Antome, they think it's not by the Rabbi. But the Rabbi Antoskan is by the Rabbi. So he, the Rabbi, writes that when they did the smicha, it was like a korban hashutfen, that each one does smicha independently, because if they'll all do b'vasachas, your hands will be a chatzitza between my hands and the head of the animal. That's what the Rabbi writes. So Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik is quoted as having said, in the shurim that he gave, I think on Erchen, I don't remember, on one of the Masechtas, he said he doesn't think like they write it. Why is it that they all did tenufa? Usually the din is echad meinefa yidei kulam. You only do one tenufa. So he said, if two people decide to bring a korban together, b'shutvas, I could have paid for the whole korban, I would have been the balakam, you couldn't pay for the whole korban. We decided that the two of us together are going to be shutvim. So I'm an independent ba'alah korban, you're independent. So your hands are a chatzitza between my hands and the head of the animal. So each one has to do his own smicha. But here, if the each one of them, Aaron and Bonav, each one would bring his own set of korbanas, they wouldn't be yotzei. The Rebbe Shalom said they have to bring, they became shutvim bal korcham. All five, Aaron and his four sons, all became shutvim bal korcham. And it's considered as if it's one bailus. So Rav Elbala thought that the smicha, not like the Rabbi, he thought the smicha was done by vasachas, it was one big din of smicha, and there wouldn't be a chatzitz. Your hands would not be a chatzitz between my hands and the head of the animal. And he thought, and that's exactly why it wasn't echad meinafai yidei kulam. Echad meinafai yidei kulam is because you can't have more than one tenufa. And if you'll hold your hands below, I'm holding on to the chaylev. You hold your hands below my hands, and my hands are chatzitz between your hands and the chaylev, or the chazav shoka, whatever it is that they're lifting up. But over here, where it's al pidin, one big bialim says nothing is a chatzitza, so you don't say echad meinafai yidei kulam, they all did tenufa together. So he thought, not like they write it, that they did, each one did smicha independently. No, that's back normal korban ha'shutvim. Here, they all did one big smicha, because it's one bialim. And here they all did the one tenufa. Not that each one did his own tenufa. Interesting insight. The big dekuna, as we mentioned, had shatnas, and that's a famous machlekes, the Rambam and the Raiva machlekes in Tosfos, 2 days in Tosfos, where the shatnas and the big dekuna is hutra or dechuya. What's an afkamina with a hutra or dechuya? So Tosfos has an afkamina is, are you allowed to wear, let's say a kohen did the avodah beis hamikdash wearing the shatnas and the big dekuna, the avnet of the kohen hedyot has shatnas. So the Rama writes, immediately following the avodah, the kohen hedyot has to take off the shatnas avnet, because it's only muta b'shas avodah. Shalom b'shas avodah tzasa. So the Rama obviously thinks that klein, the big dekuna, is dechuya, and it's only doicha when you're being mekayim the mitzvah. If you're not being kind of mitzvah, you already finished the hakrobas hakarban, you have to take off the shatnas. And the Raiva disagrees. He says he can wear the shatnas all day long. So there's a pirush hamiyuchas laharaiva and amasechas tamid. We know it's not by the Raiva. So here he disagrees with the Raiva. So the Pirush HaMiyuchas La'arayven on Tamid is bothered with the Kasha. He refers to this machlekes that the Balei HaTosfos had, where they allowed to wear klaim in the big dikun shelo b'shas avoda, is it tchuya hutra? So he says, what in the world are they talking about? That afkamina tchuya hutra is, let's say you bring a korban betuma, korban tzibur, it's muta betuma, korban shezman kavua, is you're allowed to be makar betuma. So if it's dechuya, so it's only because she hitir hatayra, so it's only if there's no other way to be makar the korban. If your hutra is hetagomer, but that's only. It's had the gomor to be makriv the avoid makriv the korban in the state of tumah. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of hakrovas hakorban at the time that you're violating the avera of hakrova betumah. Well, let's say avoid on Shabbos, you bring the tmidim himself on Shabbos. So that's a gemara in Yuma, not in the first parak davav dasan. That's late at the end of a parak that everybody agrees that hakrovas hakorbanos on Shabbos, Shabbos is hutra. It's not the chuyah. So would anybody in his right mind think he's allowed to smoke a cigarette? Right, it is. Allowed to smoke a cigarette also when he's makriv the karbanos. Allowed to make other fires that are not in connection with the hakrava? Of course not. The whole machlekes with the hutra tchuya, when you're doing the avera to fulfill the mitzvah, is it only mutter if it's eafshe l'kaim shneim? If it's dechuya, the korban is korei betume, so you're allowed to be violate avera of hakrovas karbanos betumah for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah. If you can fulfill a mitzvah without violating the avera, let it on Torah do the avoda, so do so. But if you hold that it's hutra, so even if you can avoid it. But even if you can avoid it, so it's mutter to do the avera, hutra, when you're being marked with the korban. But stam, you're going to roam around in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're going to do other things? No, it's only mutter when you're doing the mitzvah. So how can they say that big dikun is mutter all day long? That's what the Pirush HaMiyuchas La'arayven asked Akasha on that shita. That's against the Raivid. The Raivid is the one who says that hutra, so you can wear big dikun all day long. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that, what does it mean, hutra? Why doesn't that Raivid on Tamid, why doesn't he have a valid argument? So he said hutra means when the Torah gave the prohibition of kilayim, the laws of shatness, it was given that, not that the tzorach hakrovas hakarbonis, there's a mitzvah of makar karbonis, the kohanim have to be makar, we're in big dekuna, so in big dekuna have shatness, so memele, esa dechel esesis, if you hold the chuya on the shatness and big dekuna, so it's only b'shas when it's makar karbonis, but if you hold hutra, hutra means that the Cheftza big dekuna is not subject to the laws of shatness. So even if you're wearing big dekuna, shlevishas havoyer, this cheftza big dekuna was exempted. Or if you hold tumah hutra v'tzibur, the Rambam paskin duchuya v'tzibur. If the din would have been like the other Rambam and the other Tana, tumah hutra v'tzibur means hakrovas korban tzibur is not subject to the laws of tumah. So all the laws don't apply. So even though you can easily have avoided it, you can get to Horim to be makriv the korban is what you need to make. The laws of tumah don't apply to a korban tzibur. But to say you're allowed to smoke a cigar on Shabbos also, that's for sure not. The Raivid raises an issue also on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam only nervous about the avnet of the Kohen Hedyot? What about the big day kohen gadol that have shatness? Why didn't the Rambam say something about that? So the simple mashmos of the Rambam is that by the kohen gadol there's no shat. By kohen gadol, even shloim b'shas avoda, he may wear the big day kuna. Why? So the answer is the Rambam holds that kilan the big day kuna is only dechuya. It's not hutram. But dechuya means for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah. So by kohen hedyot, the Rambam holds, the mitzvah to wear big dekuna is only being fulfilled if you wear big dekuna for the purpose of being makriv korban. Shelo b'shas avoda, there's no way mitzvah to wear big dekuna. But by the kohen gadol, apparently, there's a mitzvah to wear big dekuna all day long. Why? Even shelo b'shas avoda. Even the kohen gadol is not doing any avoda at all. Either to be machshir the korbanos in the tzitz, and the Beis HaLevi says, tzitz is not enough, you need all the Shemanim Godim, not like the Rabbeinu Tam. So So it's a mitzvah that Kangaroo should wear all the Shemayim Begadim all day long in order that it should be able to be Leratzim Lahem, to be Machsha, the Karbonos that will be offered Betumah. Or maybe you don't even have to go so far to be Machsha, the Karbonos that will be offered Betumah. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, you appointed Kangaroo. The kvoda of the sefarta of the kangarol is to sit in the bed, to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long, to supervise all the hakrabas hakrabas. So that's the mitzvah of the kangarol. The kohen hagid only has a mitzvah of levishas big dekuna b'shas habayda. Shlo b'shas habayda, there's no mitzvah of levishas big dekuna for a kohen hagid. But for the kangarol, the mitzvah is all day long. Kvoda of the sefarta is to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. So taka the Ravitz kasha and the Rambam, that's what the Radvaz on the side of the Rambam says like that. And the Beis HaLevi has it also. The Rambam distinguishes between Levisha's big bikuna by the Kohen Hedyot and by the Kohen Gadol. By the Kohen Gadol, it's a mitzvah all day long. And by the Kohen, it's only a mitzvah to wear big bikuna for the purpose of hakrovas, hakrobonus. So Shalom B'Shas HaBedev, there's no mitzvah. Everything was covered over here. Truma and Tetzave, all the Klei HaMikdash and all the big bikuna, and then you have all the whole Akravas HaKarbonos that was necessary in order to endow the Kohanim with the Kedushas Kun. You get to the end of the Parsha, the end of the Parsha's Tetzaveh, the Torah finally writes up about Mizbach HaKtoros. So the Mefarshim asked, Mizbach HaKtoros should have been earlier. What is it doing all the way at the end? Tapela. So the Arachaim has some kind of a comment. When I was in Eretz Yisrael last year, Rabbi David Miller showed me. Rechaim on the Pasuk in Parshas Truma, when it says, V'chein Tasu V'dor, says a very long comment, and he raises this issue, Ibn Ezra raises it, why is the Mizbech HaKtoros all the way at the end? It should be together with all the other Kelim, with the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Oren and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So all the way after everything, Achrei Kechlos HaKom. So the Rechaim suggests, because when you look in Sefer Melochim, I think it's chapter above. It's not the Haftorah of Truma. I think it's a few psukim after the Haftorah ends. So Rashi points out over there that Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, made a different Mizbach HaKtoros, the Mizbach HaZov, made a bigger one. Why did he make a bigger one? Rashi writes, I don't know. Rashi HaMelech writes, I don't know why he made it. What was wrong with the old one? So Rabbi Miller was looking, Rabbi David Miller, so he says, he shows me, and at Deres Aliyo, they have a few comments from the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon says that it would be out of proportion. When in the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was pretty small. The Heichal was pretty small. So the Mizbach HaKtoros was proportional. Amo al Amo was proportional. But Shlomo HaMelech made everything so much bigger. So if you're going to have such a tiny Mizbach HaZohav and such a big Heichal, gonna look funny. So that's why he had to make a different Mizbach HaKtoros that should fit in. It should be a proper proportion. Achidish. Yeah, the Ktoros was brought twice every day. A little in the morning, a little in the evening. And Tomash Rashach, Tomash Albein Abayim. It was also twice a day. And Chavit Kohen Gadol was also part in the morning, part in the evening. Kohen Gadol had to bring on Minchas Chalitin every day. Machtzisa v'bok, machtzisa v'ein abad. We have Kriya Shema once every day, once every night. So the Rambam counts all, each one of these as one mitzvah. One mitzvah to say Kriya Shema twice a day, one mitzvah to bring Tmidim twice a day, one mitzvah to bring Torahs twice a day, one mitzvah to Kohen Gadol to bring Chalit to Kohen Gadol twice a day. The Rambam disagrees. Ramban says, Manu shel zeh lo kaz manu shel zeh. He borrows that term from the Gemara Megillah, that base. That you read the Megillah in Yerushalayim and Tezvav in Tel Aviv, you read it on Yudalit. Manu shel zeh lo kaz manu shel zeh. So he says, Tomas shel shachot tamash shebein abayim is different zmanim. Why did the Rambam consider it two parts of one mitzvah, two different mitzvahs? So Ramban disagrees on Kriyashma and on Ktoris and on Tomid, it should be counted as two mitzvahs, not as one. But a Chavit in Kohen Gadol, he's masking. Why? Because he quotes the Gemara, says, I think in Menachas, Chavit Kohen Gadol, you have to do Kiddush Kli on a Mincha, you have to do the Kiddush Kli on the whole Mincha in the morning, the whole Mincha. Then Kohen Gadol is marked a part of it in the morning and part of it in the evening. So since it had to have the Kiddush Kli together, that's considered two parts of one big carbon. But the Tamid Shel Shachar Tamid Shel Merabayim not connected. Ketores is not connected either. And Kriya Shema is not connected, unconnected. So they're two different mitzvahs. So Yitanez, they should be counted as two different mitzvahs. Manush Hazeh, look, it's Manush Hazeh, so it should be counted as two mitzvahs. So Rav Soloveitchik said he has a bit of a riot to the Rambam, that it should only be counted as one mitzvah. Why? So the Gemara, the first daf in Perek Tefillos HaShachar, has a suffix. We know that there's a din of tashlum, and if a person forgot to daven ma'ariv, he davens shachris, the second Shemoneh Esrei. And if he forgot to daven shachris, he can daven mincha, second Shemoneh Esrei, tashlumen, to make up for the shachris that he missed. But what about if he got to daven mincha? Can he make tashlumen after ma'ariv? Because it's a different day. Since the tfilos are keneged ha-karbonis, and by the karbonis there's a rule of a yom abatel karbonai, so maybe it doesn't make sense to have tashlumen from mincha to ma'ariv because of a yom abatel karbonai. Masa toshma, the beferish of Rai said that you do. Even if you miss the mincha on Shabbos afternoon, you daven ma'ariv twice, and you say atochan antonu in the first tefillah. You don't say in the second tefillah. Sure. So that's the beferish, that there is tashlumen even from mincha to ma'ariv. So the Achorim Abadel on that Gemara, Gemara had a sofei. Can you have tashlumen from mincha to ma'ariv? Because there's a rule of a yom abatel karbonai. So Achorim asked, that's not the rule. The rule is of a zman abatel karbonai. If you didn't bring the Tamid Shel Shachar in the morning before Chatzot, you can't bring it in the afternoon. So what's the Gemara Shaila? Whether there's tashlumen from mincha to ma'ariv, there shouldn't be tashlumen from shachris to mincha if you say of a zman abatel karbonai. Why are you just using an expression of a yom a bottle of kabbana? That's not it. There is always man a bottle of kabbana. You can't bring. So he said, he doesn't have the full answer, but it would appear from the Gemara, according to the Rambam, is better, smoother. According to the Rambam, it's one mitzvah, the two parts of the same mitzvah. Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, two parts of the same mitzvah. True, of a zman a bottle of kabbana. You can't bring the Tamid Shel Shachar in the afternoon after Chatzos, but still, the carbon in the afternoon is incomplete. It's two parts of the same carbon, according to the Rambam. Two parts of the same carbon. So that's why it's shach to have tashlumen. But according to the Ramban, Asavas Ramban, that Zmano Shalzeh lo ka Zmano Shalzeh, Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Merabayim, unrelated, have nothing to do with each other. Not that it's half of the mitzvah. The mamash unrelated. So then you have the Pella, that's the kasha the Achreinim work on. Why did the Gemara think that makes sense? To have tashlumen from shachris, the mincha makes sense. A tashlumen from mincha ma'ariv didn't make sense because of a yom. What's of a yom? It should be bottle of a zmanet, bottle karbonet. Then the Chumash says, "When the kengodol, one of the shmanet begodim of the kengodol is the choshen hamishpat." And then the choshen mishpat says, "You have to put the ur betumim the shem amfarish." And then there was a highest form of nevuah. If he asks a shada to the Urim V'Tumim, so the letters will light up and he gives an answer. So the psukim tell us in Tanakh that in the Baishen, the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer. They knew in advance not going to answer. So there's a machloikis, I think Rashi and Tosis, if I'm not mistaken, the first parak in Yuma, and that Gemara. They know that the Urim V'Tumim is not going to answer. So is it necessary to put in the cloth that has the Shem Amfarish in the Choshen HaMishpat and the Baisheni? You say, if it's not answering anyway, so it's not functioning, so what do you need it for? So that's a machloikis, Rashi and Tosa, I think maybe machloikis, the Rambam and the Raibit also, whether putting in the Urim V'Tumim and the Shem Amfarish, that's part of the Beged. If you don't have the Shem Amfarish, you don't have the Urim V'Tumim and the Choshen HaMishpat, it's not called a Choshen Mishpat. What do you say? No. It's a Chosh Mishpat without. You only put in the Shem HaFarish if you want to get an answer. If you know in advance you're not going to get an answer, so you don't have to put in the Urim V'Tumim in the Chosh Mishpat. So that's a big Machlokes HaRishonim. Okay, we should all be healthy for many years to come. So I want you